Before I introduce our speaker this morning, I do want to mention something that we're going through. So if you guys are following along in our chapel journal, we're going through a Lent 40-day season of prayer is what we're doing. And it'll be up here on the slide. So a lot of people observe Lent differently. But what we're going to be doing here is just observe 40 days of prayer, which is kind of neat. So what we're doing basically is each week we're starting with prayer for ourselves, then we're working out to our family, our friends, our college campus, our local community, our nation, and our world. And every day of the week, pretty much we're going to have a different prayer focus for each day of the 40 days. So if you want to participate in this, go ahead and scan that QR code. If you're not interested, no worries. But if you are, we'd love just to pray with you. And we'll be talking about the different things that we're going to be praying about up here in chapel and all of that. And so if you want to participate in this, I think it'd be a really special thing. And so I think for today, our focus of prayer is just praying for yourself and temptations, trials you're going through. I think tomorrow is praying for a spirit of peace and joy, and it's going to be really special. So scan that QR code if you're interested in participating in that. So, okay, our chapel speaker this morning might be one of the most fascinating, intriguing people you ever meet. Let me share a little bit of his background. So Miguel was born about 50 years ago in deep in the Amazon rainforest down in Peru in South America. He grew up in a village with no electricity, no mirrors, and no running water. And his primary education consisted of hunting for snakes, lizards, and monkeys. And he fished for sardines and giant catfish. So how's that for a childhood? Miguel found the Lord at age 11, and he realized one of the callings on his life was to share Jesus with everyone he knew. Now, also at age 11, he lived in the jungle, but he found a National Geographic magazine, and on the cover of the magazine was a picture of the New York City skyline. And he realized, wow, there's a life outside of the jungle, is what he realized. And so he actually, at age 16, moved out of the jungle into the capital of Peru, Lima. And pretty much he went to some school, got trained in some missions a bit, and then he moved to America. And here in America, he got a double major from Sonoma State. Then he studied at Oxford in England. Then he got two master's degrees at Stanford. And then he got a PhD at Stanford too. And to this day, he is the only indigenous Amazon native in the world to have earned a PhD. Okay, yeah, that's pretty amazing. The only one, yeah, that's amazing. He is so well-rounded, just in academics. He has degrees in philosophy, economics, politics, English, anthropology. Since then, he's taught all over the world. He's taught here in America, down in South America, at universities, at conferences. He talks about his life, all the things he's learned. He ran for president in Peru. In 2016, he lost, which we all would have voted for you, Miguel. But actually, just to be honest, one of the reasons he lost is because he actually had integrity. The people who won were fairly corrupt. And I just respect you for that, Miguel. This is an amazing man who has come just to teach us this morning. He's part of Alliance Redwoods, which is down south in the Bay Area. And anyways, he's just come here to teach us and share on his life, things he's learned. And so let's give Miguel a huge hand as he comes up and shares this morning. You got it?
Hakun yamagiri no kun kena kaye bori chajarwe mat oinda na to yamagiri mat jio sativya kibano. Brothers and sisters, good morning to you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Did you feel that? This really amazing feeling to be worshiping the Lord. The most amazing thing is that I can also worship the Lord in my own language. He also understands. And I'm going to time myself 20 minutes this morning to share with you. If I run out of time, well, too bad. I called my talk today, My Calling from the Unknown, A Journey from the Amazon to the Wild West. Here's a brief outline. I'm going to be sharing my life journey to talk about what is calling, the risk involved in calling, the implications of calling in terms of impact, also the process of calling, but also the pain of calling and the restoration in the process as well. A brief background about Peru. Peru is around 12 hours journey from San Francisco. We have around 30 million people, and we have around 48 indigenous nations in Peru. And one of those nations is my people, the Shipibo Conibos. We are around 30,000 people. So I'm going to begin my presentation this morning quoting my mom. Her name is Zoe. One day, I was 12 years old. We went to fetch for firewood in the forest. And we couldn't find any. So she said something like this: "When there's no longer a path, grab a machete and make a new path." And she grabbed a machete and began to make a new path. And we grabbed a lot of firewood that day. Webster Dictionary defines calling as the inner energy impulse towards an action that has correlation with some kind of power that comes from God. For me, calling is also greater than just having a job. It's about purpose. Calling is not just about going to school, being a great student, obtaining a BA or master's or PhD, and then getting a good job and have an income. It's beyond that. Calling is also really messy. It's painful. It's full of uncertainty. Now I'm going to share with you about three crazy families from America and UK who had this crazy idea, insane idea. Very irresponsible, actually, you know, to bring their families to the Amazon rainforest of Peru. Thank you. And so in 1930, the Eglintons from the UK felt the calling from God to share about Jesus to the indigenous people in the Amazon. So he brought his family, perhaps, you know, a baby, I don't know, a year old and 2 years old. Can you imagine that? To bring your family to the place where there's nothing. The reason is because there was this inner energy, inner strength coming from God to do something beyond his own comfortable life. So this is the picture, as you see on your left. That's the first picture ever taken about my tribe by this missionary couple. Then in 1947, there's another crazy family from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who also went to my tribe. You know, the picture on, that would be on your left, the left picture. Go back, please. So that's my grandfather, Leonardo Escobar. So his generation was the first lineage to hear about Jesus and accept Jesus as their personal savior. Even in a broken Spanish, because just imagine, you know, you're in a, you know, if some strangers come to your village, to your town, to your country, you only understand 10% of the language. But the little percentage of the understanding they had about Jesus, they believed, and they still follow today. And George and Mary Baker, I got to meet him, and he brought his 4 kids to the village. You know, I think that nowadays, you know, if you decide to bring your kids, you know, to a really strange and unknown place, you know, the child protective services would charge you for negligence, you know, because you're endangering your kids, you know. But they didn't, because they had a calling. They had this inner strength and energy hearing from God to do something for other people and for the expansion of the kingdom of God. The first catch that George Baker had was, as you can see there, is an anaconda. So the first week they were there, they didn't save anybody. but they, you know, got to grab an anaconda. So last night, you know, I thanked my dear friend, our pastor, you know, Nathalie, for reviewing my my slides. So I told her, quote unquote, when you take your students to the Amazon, I'm going to treat you well. She didn't know that I was talking about anaconda. I'm going to make anaconda steak and soup. I'm going to feed you and your students when you go there. That's what I was meaning. Okay, all right, she has a lot of faith. Actually, anaconda is very organic food, free range as well, so it's really good. Another crazy family from Florida went to the Amazon as well in 1962. Oops, I forgot to time myself, so sorry. So the Aifords decided to leave their comfortable life in Florida, went to the Amazon, to my village as well. The picture on your left, the first row sitting down, is my dad, Miguel Hilario. He was the first young people to train to go to school. So his generation were the first generation of young people to be trained by the missionaries to go to school. And I want to reject, you know, secular, you know, theories in anthropology and sociology that have argued very convincingly that American Protestant missionaries, you know, have been devastating and killing the cultures and the language of indigenous people worldwide. But I want to tell you today that actually the reverse is true, that Jesus Christ is through American missionaries, also from UK missionaries, have been transforming the lives of indigenous people worldwide and bringing opportunities to redefine, to re-empower, to empower their cultures and languages is through the power of Jesus. So we have these crazy, insane Western families who heard from God, had this amazing passion in their hearts to do something for others, bringing education, bringing healthcare, and bringing salvation to the indigenous communities in the Amazon rainforest. So I'm the third generation of believers because of their sacrifice, because of their calling, because of their obedience to the calling. So one day, my parents were traveling, you know, as Nat was sharing with you all, was traveling in a Doga canoe, going from one village to another. My mom was pregnant, and she had a contraction pain, and she delivered the baby in a Doga canoe. Google Map doesn't even know today where I was born. Somewhere in the Amazon rainforest, somewhere in the river. So that's why I call my presentation today my calling from the unknown. Even Google Map doesn't know even today where I was born, but somewhere in the Amazon. But God brings us from the unknown places to be known for his sake. That's the plan he has. He actually has a plan for every one of us. That's why you are here. It's not just about the sacrifice you're making or your parents, you know, to pay the tuition. It's beyond that. It actually God has a great plan for all of you and for all of us. You know, when you study economics, you study a lot of statistics. You know, you play around with probabilities. So I want to share you today that I had a zero probability to be speaking to you this morning. Because when I was born, my parents didn't have any sisters or knives. So my dad cut my umbilical cord with two sticks. A day later, when we arrived to the village, I was dying of infection. But God brought the Aifert family to the village. And Renee happened to be a nurse, and she happened to have one medication, anti-infection, one remaining. And that's why I can be here before you this morning. So the picture on your left It's my family, my dad, my two sisters, my mom, and the little baby boy is me. Saved by God is through these missionaries. So God can actually turn your zero probability of having success into 100% probability because he's God. That's my first message. So no matter, you know, the doubts you might have about your own calling, about your own vision or professional plan, it may be very complicated for different reasons, but I can guarantee you today that the Lord can turn into this zero probability into 100% probability that he can actually empower you to achieve what you have in your heart. God sends his angels everywhere, but you have to be opened to seeing those angels every day. Many times we are so arrogant and full of pride that we don't see the angels that the Lord sends us to help us. In many dark places in our lives, either past, today, or in the future, he's going to be there with you, bring you hope and light. Many times when we share our dreams, nobody believes in us. It takes only one or two people to believe or empower us. So I have two great people who have empowered me, believed in me to be where I am today. Matthew Nokas and Patrick Parks. I was just simply a janitor working in Lima, a homeless, you know, young man who was living there for a while. Then I found the missionaries, gave me a job as a janitor. People just saw me as somebody who had a nice smile, but nobody saw my potential. But two people did. And those people helped me and empowered me and sponsored me to come to the U.S. So we have to be open to ask for help, always. And we need to have the humility to accept the help because God is working through anybody that is open to receive the help or ask for help. As Nate was sharing, that, you know, I got the inspiration by looking at the skylines of New York. And just imagine, though, you're in the village with no any type of currency, nothing, absolutely nothing, because we don't use the currency, you know, to have a living in the Amazon. So I had nothing, but I had everything because I had the Lord Jesus with me. For God, nothing is impossible. So whatever you are thinking in your life, personal life, professional life, you know, God can actually bring that impossibility into a possibility because he is God. So when you have your dreams, your visions, you know, even if nobody believes in you, it doesn't really matter because there's somebody who believes in you. That's Jesus. You know, many times, you know, from our human perspective, our dream may be really big. But from God's perspective, that dream is actually really small. So God has the power to reset. God has the power to update. You know, in our phones, you know, we have a constant update, right, to get a better version of the apps. So I think the Lord has that power as well. So whatever vision you may have in your life, the Lord can just put the update and give you a better vision or bigger vision that you may not have ever imagined. That's what happened with me. I just wanted to come to the U.S. to go to school, but the Lord had a better plan for me to take me to study economics and politics to Oxford and then eventually to Stanford. So God knows your heart. You don't know the outcome, but he knows your heart. So whatever you're planning to do in your life, persevere in that path. Never pull away from that path. The Lord has your back. And the victory is in the horizon, but it's not easy. It's not easy at all. So in order to fulfill your calling, you need not only academic preparation, but you actually need a life preparation as well, which is very hard. So what happens is that when you go through this calling and the process of training, eventually the Lord is going to give you a platform of influence. So one of the things what I have seen over and over again is that when I go to give lectures all over the world, especially in California, you know, because I'm from the Amazon rainforest, they think that I'm a shaman. You know, I talk about ecology and development economics. And one day I was in Ojai, California. Do you know where Ojai, California is, in Southern California? Yes, you are from Ojai. There are a lot of great dudes, but, you know, they believe in shamanism and earth and stuff. You know, one day I was, you know, giving a lecture there, and, you know, a lot of people show up, and they were lining up to talk to me, and they asked me, are you going to do the shamanic ayahuasca service tonight? And so I told my boss, Jim, I don't know where he is here, and Alan Ray was at Jim, like, I found a new venue for us. You know, let's do shamanic services here so we can raise funds for the kingdom of the Lord, you know. That's a joke, you know. It's an Amazonian joke. But anyway, the thing is, what I've seen is that because I'm from the Amazon, the Lord has given me a huge platform to talk to anybody. New Agers, intellectuals. When I was working for the United Nations and other international bank institutions, that Lord gave me the platform to talk to the vice president of the bank, to talk to and share my testimony with the chairman of JP Morgan Bank, and including the presidents of Peru. I got to share my faith with President Alberto Fujimori and Alejandro Toledo when I was working in his government. So the Lord gives us a great platform of influence. And many times, you know, the dreams that we might have is not going to work out. So in 2016, I had this crazy idea to be the president of Peru. And I thought, hey, look, I have the great training, you know, I have expertise in development economics from Oxford and anthropology and Stanford. I'm qualified to be the president of Peru. And God was, no, really, you're actually not qualified because I have other purpose for you. I didn't win the presidency. But what I found out is that when I had the presidential debate with the daughter of, or against the daughter of the former dictator, you know, there was around 20 million people who watched the debate. And I got to share, you know, my faith in Jesus. So then I realized that the Lord took me to Peru, not to be the president of Peru, but to talk about him. You know, so the point is that even when your dreams are shattered, God can bring back those shattered dreams for his purpose and for his glory and for greater purpose. You know, calling is very messy, it's very hard. I'm sure you all have walked through the journey of pains and suffering, even today. Tomorrow, or in the years to come, nobody's exempt from that. And after what I thought the Lord was leading me through this journey, after I have tasted the goodness of God, after I have seen the miracles of God, I also went to a valley where I went through a divorce, currently have estranged family members, went through a financial bankruptcy, my father died, and during COVID, I lost 18 family members. We were literally burying each family member every other day. And during that time, you know, I had the strength from God to fundraise from the US and UK to bring medical relief to the Amazon. So as you see the picture here, Machu Picchu and thorns, you're going to have injuries from thorns in your life. But the Lord Jesus has the power to take every single thorn out of your life and to give you healing. So I was sharing with Nate yesterday, you know, about the calling and the meaning of that. So the point why I'm bringing this picture, Machu Picchu, is that, you know, our life in our journey can become a ruin, appearingly, from a human perspective, because we have suffered so much. We have so much tears in our lives for pains and sufferings. But God has the power to convert this ruined life into a beautiful element, into a beautiful monument. That's a message for you. It doesn't really matter what happened to you yesterday or in the previous years or what happened to you today or tomorrow. It doesn't matter, because the Lord is going to convert those ruins, those pains and sufferings into a beautiful new element, a new monument for his glory. And that's the power. So there's not really a loss or win paradigm when you walk with Jesus. It's always a win-win. No matter what decisions you may make, even wrong decisions, God's going to turn into something positive. He's going to convert those pains into something positive. So it doesn't mean that you just have to practice freedom to just to do whatever you want. It just basically means a restriction within the framework of God's mercy and love. It's really amazing that in our journey, we can't feel pains and sufferings, but Lord Jesus is our healer. He knows our pains and sufferings. He can heal. He has healed all of us in the past. He can heal us today. He can heal us tomorrow. So here I want to share with you, next please. This is a geometrical design pattern that my people have been using for thousands of years. So just remember, the first missionary who came to my village was in 1903, around 95 years ago. So the Lord revealed himself to us thousands of years before the missionaries arrived. As you can see here, it's very visible, I think, the crosses on the geometrical design and pattern. So when the missionaries told us, that's what my grandparents told us, my parents, they knew exactly what that cross meant. So there was a massive conversion to Jesus' path, because there was already a priori revelation of the cross of Jesus way before the arrival of the missionaries. So he indeed has the power to heal all of us in our journey. It's really important to understand and realize and practice that in your calling, in your journey, we may have the justifications to say that, yeah, I cannot serve others because I'm broken. I don't have the energy. But we just have to turn that equation and to say that God can give me the energy and the strength to continue to make a difference. So that's what we did in the Amazon. During the midst of hardship and tribulations and COVID killing everybody, you know, in our neighborhood, in our villages, you know, we managed to have the strength to raise $30,000. We hired doctors and nurses. We treated around 10,000 people in the Amazon. We provided food and medication. Even today, we feed around 135 kids every weekend. So if you want to do something meaningful to serve others in your life, so I already invited your pastor, Ane, to come to serve to the Amazon. And I guarantee you, we're going to feed you well. We're going to feed you plantains and anaconda soup. Free range. The Lord has the power to heal you. So don't use the excuse that because I'm broken, I cannot serve. We are called to be his witness, to love everybody, to serve everybody, and to forgive everybody all the time. Some conclusions with regard to service. Calling is not about us. It's not about career. You may have so many degrees in your life. You may have so much money. You may become a personal influence. It doesn't matter if you don't understand that calling is not about us, but it's about serving others. And no exceptions. Just because you are making a difference in people's life, it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through a pain and suffering. You're going to go through a pain and suffering. 100% guarantee. Even the Bible, you know, says that. But the difference is that God is on our side. We need to have the inner power to adapt into any circumstance. God, through the Holy Spirit, can give us the strength to adapt to any pains, because the Lord can use those pains to lift up, to heal other people. Resilience. You know, what we are today, actually, is a reflection of what we were yesterday. What you are today is going to be the reflection of what you went through tomorrow. You know, we all have the access to the power of Jesus to get his strength. Oop. Okay, he's telling me that I need to finish. Okay, almost done. Perseverance, we can do everything through Jesus Christ. Don't forget that we always have to be humble. Whatever we achieved in life, whether finances or degrees, it doesn't matter. God always brings us back to where we came from to remind us that he's our Lord and he's still in control. Humility is important. So the question for you this morning is, what's your dream? Beyond finishing, you know, your undergraduate degree, beyond your graduate degree, what's your dream? Is it big? Is it small? Are you afraid to take the first step to pursue what is in your heart? What's in your heart? Will you consider this morning allowing God to write a story through your life? My mom said, when there's no longer a path, grab your keyboard, grab your laptop, grab your pen, and make a new path. If God can do these amazing miracles in the life of this Amazonian boy with heavy accent to have influence in people's life, I can guarantee that he's going to have a tremendous influence through your lives. But you have to be open to it. You have to have the humility to learn. You have to have the strength, inner strength, to have the calling. But you need to have the faith in Jesus. If your faith in Jesus is still 50%, 60%, 69.5%, think about today. Do you want to be really committed to him? To love everybody, to serve everybody, to forgive everybody. Because life is not about us, it's about serving others. May the Lord bless you.